First Line Report, news and commentary. I'm Jed Duval, CBS News, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The big contest is about to be decided. Each side speaks hopefully of winning. The decision could come at midweek. Monday will be a key day. This description applies, of course, to the World Series of baseball and the World Series of foreign policy as far as Ronald Reagan is concerned, the AWACS sale. One could be as important as the other. A look at the big game in a moment.
Avon, the world's largest beauty company, has something new and beautiful to sing about.
We're gonna make you feel beautiful. Put a smile on your face. Make you feel like a star. We're gonna make you feel beautiful. With
you'll see and hear Avon's new advertising everywhere. So watch out, world. We're going to make you feel beautiful.
With Avon, you're really feeling beautiful. Yes. Well, yes, you are.
AWAC or AWACS, it is part of the national vocabulary now. Not for long, one hopes. This harsh and awkward noun is an acronym for airborne warning and control. It has come clunking into use as a singular or plural, sometimes gets fumbled into AWACS, but only wags have taken it as far as earwax. The more useful and coherent phrase is radar planes, flying radar stations. The U.S. government has long considered selling to the Saudi Arabian government. The Carter administration proposed it. The Reagan administration picked up the proposal and may turn it into its first major congressional defeat after a succession of congressional victories on other subjects. The flying radar platform is useful in detecting approaching aircraft and dispatching the home team planes to meet them. It is a mobile, refined lookout system, sophisticated and expensive. The group of planes proposed for sale to the Saudis is part of an $8 billion arms package overall, involving not only the planes but a number of other weapons and supplies. Nothing in the package addresses itself to the fundamental problems of passion in the Middle East. The Reagan administration and its supporters in the matter of the sale, which includes former President Jimmy Carter, claim the radar planes are essential to Middle East security, essential to the safety of the Saudi oil fields. The opponents of the sale claim it is a slap at Israel, that the radar planes pose too much of a potential threat to the Israeli Air Force. Those and other arguments, such as the view that it is good for business at home to sell the planes, are part of the lineup of arguments on both sides that have combined to make more of the AWAC affair than it needs to be. If the Saudis are not permitted to buy these planes, it is said they will buy a British version called the Nimrod. The president will need to try some hard sell today on a handful of Republican senators. Six of them will come calling. He will call on their party loyalty and complain that his ability to conduct foreign policy will be impaired if the planes cannot be sold to the Saudis. The Reagan administration did not have to leave itself in such a corner, letting some equipment, expensive as it is, stand for a foreign policy in the Middle East. The administration did not have to let what should have been a simple logistical argument be enlarged into a symbol and not a genuine policy for a region. Now this.
If you feel like your alarm went off this morning before your head even hit the pillow last night, you could probably use a little incentive for getting into the shower and out of the house. So, your breakfast is ready at McDonald's. We're right on your way cooking up fresh scrambled eggs, cured pork sausage, crunchy McDonald's hash browns, and a toasty hot buttered English muffin. And we're waiting to see your smiling face. So don't be afraid. Wake up!
You deserve a break today.
Your breakfast is ready
at McDonald's.
The final score in the AWACS contest will be known late Wednesday when the Senate votes. First Line Report. I'm Jed Duval, CBS News.
Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with a CBS World News Roundup. Army troops today are fanning out around Poland with the announced assignment of preserving economic order. Bert Quint reports from Warsaw.
The combat troops, whose job it is to keep the peace and help in the distribution of food and goods, will be deployed principally in 2,000 rural communities. That announcement was made by the Minister of Administration, General Tadeusz Upalowski, on national television last night. The general spoke in what appeared to be purposely vague terms about the troops being employed in numerous civic action projects and almost incidentally, as it were, in ending local disputes. He didn't say what kind of disputes or how they would be ended, nor did he say whether protest demonstrations in the streets would be banned. The vagueness enables the regime to keep its options open while adding to the pressure on Poles to refrain from protest actions. Authorities also demanded that all strikes be ended. That would include a one-hour national stoppage scheduled for Wednesday to protest food shortages. A communique said strikes would destroy the economy and eliminate the possibility of an agreement with the Union. Communist Party officials appeared ready to propose an agreement at a central committee meeting this week. Bert Quint, CBS News, Warsaw.
Defense Secretary Caspar Weinberger discussed the Polish situation yesterday upon his return from NATO talks in Europe, and we'll hear about that from Ike Pappas.
Weinberger said the Soviets now want the Polish army to put down the struggle for more freedom in Poland instead of massing Russian troops on Polish borders as they did earlier this year in an effort to intimidate Solidarity into submission.
Conferences and meetings they've had with the officials of the Polish government, things of this kind that would indicate that this is more their policy than whereas in December and in April and a few weeks ago they had a lot of troops out on maneuvers and working in what appeared to be very intimidating positions just outside the Polish borders.
Weinberger warned if efforts to negotiate with Solidarity fail and the Polish army cannot control future strikes and demonstrations, then the Soviets might invade, said Weinberger. Armed intervention by the Soviets remains a grave threat in Poland. Ike Pappas, CBS News, Andrews Air Force Base, Maryland.
Massive anti-nuclear demonstrations took place over the weekend in Western Europe, and Tom Fenton tells us about them.
Close to 750,000 persons marched peacefully in four major European capitals this weekend. In London, it was the biggest ban the bomb meeting ever held in Britain. Up to 250,000 persons marched to Hyde Park to hear speeches calling for removal of American nuclear missiles from Britain and renunciation of Britain's own nuclear deterrent. Only a year ago, it would have been difficult to attract more than a few hundred people in Britain to such a meeting. There were also marches in Paris, Rome, and Brussels, the biggest being in Rome, where demonstrators marched past both the American and Soviet embassies, and in Brussels, which was the scene of the biggest march since World War II. The British and Italian governments have accepted the American plan to deploy new nuclear missiles in Europe, and the French government, although outside of NATO, supports the plan. The Belgian government, however, has been wavering, and the strength of anti-nuclear sentiment shown this weekend may influence its final decision. Tom Fenton, CBS News, London.
A West German newspaper quotes Romanian President Nicolae Ceaușescu today as calling for the withdrawal of Soviet nuclear missiles from Eastern Europe in exchange for a halt in the deployment of new missiles in Western Europe. This is the first time that a Soviet bloc leader has publicly appealed for withdrawal of the Soviet SS-20s as part of an arms reduction plan. But Ceaușescu is known for his refusal to follow the Moscow line.
If you think you have to give up styling to get high mileage, you haven't seen the beautiful 1982 Datsun 200 SX SL. We call it power styling. The low sporty wedge design and sloping hood turns heads as surely as this car turns corners. Inside the new 200 SX SL built by Nissan is the ultimate in comfort and sophistication. This car even talks to you.
Lights are on.
On the road, a more powerful 2.2-liter engine whisks you along without sacrificing economy. EPA estimated 26 mpg with 5-speed, 38 highway. Use 26 for comparison, your mileage may differ. Highway mileage will probably be less. The affordable 200 SX SL, a stunning example of Nissan quality.
And see the awesome 280ZX pace the Datsun Pacific Coast Sprint Car races this week.
The Senate is scheduled to vote Wednesday afternoon on President Reagan's proposed sale of five AWACS planes and other military equipment to Saudi Arabia. Between now and that decisive vote, Mr. Reagan plans to meet with 18 senators, seven today, eight tomorrow, three on Wednesday, in hopes of winning their support. Phil Jones reports what the president's chances look like at the moment.
So far, the president's tally sheet shows about 40 senators either for the AWACS sale or leaning in that direction. It is crucial for him to pick up 4 to 6 more votes from the list of 18 Republican senators who have indicated they plan to vote no. If he can find 44 to 46 senators who will vote with him, then he has a chance of picking up 4 undecided Democrats, Senators Boren, Exon, Leahy, and Long. That would give him the 50 votes he needs to squeak through. Senate Majority Leader Howard Baker intensified the pressure on Senate Republicans yesterday, Baker saying that no Republican should vote against the president. And Baker claims that several Republicans have indicated that they are reconsidering their opposition to the sale. But headcounters for the opposition are still predicting victory. So the outcome will clearly depend on whether Ronald Reagan can convince a handful of Republican senators to swallow hard and say yes instead of no. Phil Jones, CBS News, Washington.
A wooden sailboat carrying Haitian refugees broke up off Hillsborough Inlet on the Florida East Coast before dawn. There were 30 survivors, 31 bodies have been recovered, 6 people unaccounted for. Coast Guardsman Dan Waldschmidt was asked why the boat wasn't halted before the accident under President Reagan's interdiction program.
There's really no evidence that this boat even left Haiti. There are Haitians already on the Bahamas that have been coming to the United States. This possibly could have been a boat that came from the Bahamas. And in addition to that, the one cutter, along with 2 helicopters and a C-130, it's almost unrealistic to believe that they would stop every single boat departing from Haiti. They're doing the best that they can with the resources available at this time.
Every way you turn, so-called high-mileage cars are springing up like weeds. But understand this, it takes more than MPGs to be a Datsun. Much more. It takes pride, dedication, experience. Datsun is no Johnny-come-lately. For 50 years, Datsuns have been built by Nissan, a company famous for high-mileage, high-quality cars. They know how to build them right, how to build them strong, how to build them affordably. So, next time you're in a Datsun showroom, after you've looked at the impressive miles per gallon ratings, look at the tight seams, solid doors, reliable engines. You'll be convinced of Nissan's total commitment to give you good old-fashioned value for your hard-earned dollar. Datsun, a product of Nissan, a very demanding company.
Awesome 280 ZX Pace, the Datsun Pacific Coast Sprint Car Races this week at Ascot Park.
The Prime Minister of Israel sounded a positive note today in Jerusalem. Bruno Wassertheil explains why.
Prime Minister Menachem Begin seemed to be in an upbeat mood as he spoke of the outcome of the Egyptian-Israeli talks here on ways and means of cementing the normalization process between the two countries.
I suppose I can say that the talks between the two delegations have been successful. First of all, we reached a detailed agreement on tourism of 7 paragraphs, and no doubt this will be of importance to the economy of both countries.
Begin said that in a mutual bid to achieve a breakthrough on Palestinian autonomy, cabinet level Israeli, Egyptian, and American negotiating teams will convene in Cairo a week from Wednesday. The main aim of the talks will be to find a formula for the creation of a Palestinian self-governing authority to administer the day-to-day lives of the 1.3 million Arabs living in the Israeli-ruled West Bank and Gaza Strip. Bruno Wassertheil, CBS News, Jerusalem.
A powerful car bomb exploded today in a residential neighborhood of predominantly Christian East Beirut. At least one person was killed, 20 were injured, and there was severe damage. The casualty toll is expected to rise. Bombs went off in the pre-dawn hours at 2 popular night spots in Paris, causing some damage and minor injuries. Some people called him the Al Capone of Japan. There were other nicknames for him, too, respectful, if not complimentary. And yesterday, as we hear from David Jackson, he was memorialized in a manner befitting his station.
The mobsters came to Kobe by the hundreds over the weekend wearing very expensive black suits. There was a memorial service held for Kazuo Tooka, the boss of bosses in the Japanese underworld, who died of a heart attack last July. He'd run the Yamaguchi-gumi, the biggest of the estimated 2,500 gangs throughout the country. Police figure the Yamaguchi membership roll alone at well over 10,000. Authorities told the gang not to hold the service. There was concern that with representatives of so many rival mobs converging to pay respect, there might be some trouble. There was only a scuffle or two. Authorities here estimate that in all the gangs combined, there are well over 100,000 active members, or Yakuza. Their influence reaches into all manner of businesses. David Jackson, CBS News, Tokyo.
U.S. Ambassador Arthur Hartman said today in Moscow that the United States is fully committed to improving relations with the Soviet Union, but must respond to the massive Soviet military buildup. A fire of suspicious origin today knocked out communications and power in Boston's mass transit system, paralyzing subways just before the morning rush hour and stranding thousands of commuters. The dollar scored sizable gains today against the major foreign currencies, presumably because of events in Poland and speculation that U.S. interest rates will remain high. Gold is off a bit. The price was fixed in London this morning at $428 an ounce, down $1.50 from Friday's close.
CBS News. Disaster strikes Haitians off the coast of Florida. This is Reed Collins reporting on the CBS Radio Network. 31 bodies have washed up on the Florida shores north of Fort Lauderdale. Authorities say the victims were Haitians whose wooden sailboat came to grief offshore. It's believed that boat carried 67 would-be refugees. 31 swam safely to shore, but an equal number drowned and 5 persons cannot be found. This happened as the Coast Guard initiated a plan to stop the illegal immigration at the source, Haiti itself. Last night, a Coast Guard cutter, the Chase, stopped one leaky boat and prepared to redeposit the occupants in Haiti today.
The Coast Guard interdiction program going on now off the coast of Haiti is basically one of the main objectives of it is to avoid this type of tragedy happening at sea. The 56 people that the cutter Chase picked up last night off of a unseaworthy sailboat, it's hard to tell what may have happened to them. As soon as they were evacuated from the sailboat that they were on board the Chase, that sailboat sank.
The interdiction program was initiated last month by President Reagan. News continues after this.
Boring.
Boring, honey?
Mm-hmm, boring. You are the most fabulous man in the world.
Oh, thank you, dear.
But you make the most boring food in the known universe.
Oh.
Cheese.
Cheese, dear?
Cheese adds a slice of life.
Life?
Mm-hmm, the opposite of boring.
That's all well and good, but you have to remember that I'm a little lazy, too.
Oh, it's easy to add a slice of life with cheese.
Yeah?
Sure. Once you go to the store and buy it.
Me go to...
By the way, I should mention that our store is featuring cheese right now.
Right now?
Right now.
Featuring cheese?
Featuring cheese.
I see.
And once you buy it, you can slice it, you can grate it, you can grill it, you can sauce it, you can melt it, you can ship it, you can dip it, you can bake it.
Bake it?
A potato.
But you said cheese.
On the potato.
Oh, that slice of life thing.
Dense.
Dense, dear?
You are the most dense person
dense.
In the whole world.
How would you define it?
This episode of Cheese Adds a Slice of Life, which is now featured at a store near you, has been brought to you by the American Dairy Association.
President Reagan plans intensive lobbying with visits from 1.5 dozen senators between now and the Senate's vote on the Saudi AWACS deal Wednesday. The count is believed to be close. One of the senators President Reagan was hoping to convince has turned around and said no, and Phil Jones reports.
President Reagan had tried hard to get Vermont's Democratic Senator Patrick Leahy to vote for the Saudi arms package. But after several days of reconsideration, Leahy announced this morning that he could not change his mind.
I would hope that the president would realize that he has a badly botched package. It was one put together without the kind of bipartisan consideration that should go into any major foreign policy issue. Realizing that, I'd hope that he would withdraw the package and allow us to work together to put an arms package for the Middle East and a Middle Eastern policy. If that is not done, then I will vote against it. I really feel in conscience I have no other choice.
52 senators have now indicated their intentions to oppose the sale. Opponents claim they have 56 ready to vote no. But President Reagan is meeting with senators today and tomorrow in hopes of changing some minds before Wednesday's vote. Phil Jones, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Israel and Egypt have agreed to speed up the process of getting some self-rule for Palestinians in the occupied territories. Ministers from both countries are to meet November 4th, nearly 1 week ahead of schedule. Prime Minister Begin says if things go smoothly, the parties will agree on a Palestinian Autonomy Council. Israel will start to concentrate her military forces in designated areas in the West Bank and Gaza. A car rigged with explosives blew up in Beirut this morning. Radio reports say one person died, 20 were hurt. The blast happened in an exclusive Christian neighborhood and touched off a major fire. A 26-year-old marathon runner in Richmond, Virginia, collapsed two blocks from the finish line and died yesterday, soon later in a hospital. Billy Hill went down in front of the state capitol. His friends and family say he'd trained for the marathon since August, but a brother-in-law says it may have been too much too soon. Now this.
For countless centuries, the mighty Colorado River wound its way down through the mountains and across the lowlands toward the Pacific. Incessantly, it carved its path, its canyons, ever deeper into the earth. But almost all of its tremendous force of natural energy was wasted until the Great Hoover Dam was built. It was then that this mighty source of energy was harnessed and put to good use, generating electric power and providing vital irrigation for fertile lands. So it is with people. Virtually everyone has a tremendous store of untapped mental energy that lies deep within them, waiting to be harnessed and channeled into positive use. Many men and women take the Dale Carnegie course to help them recognize and harness more of their untapped potential so they can use it for greater personal achievement. For a free brochure, call Dale Carnegie toll-free 800-231-5800. That's Dale Carnegie, 800-231-5800. In Texas, call 800-392-2424.
In Washington, hearings getting underway in a courtroom this morning on a suit by atheists trying to stop chaplains' prayers that open the sessions of Congress. The suit contends that paying the parsons with tax dollars violates the Constitution. On Wall Street, fewer dollars after 1 hour. The Dow Industrial Average is down 6.65 at 831.34. The first hour volume, 9,290,000 shares. Reed Collins, CBS News.
Newsbreak. Charles Osgood reporting on the CBS Radio Network. We're worried to begin with, most of us, and almost everything we hear about in the news makes us worry more. We hear that troops are going out into the Polish countryside, and we worry about that. We hear about what the Russians have been up to, and we worry about that. Just thinking about the proposed systems to defend ourselves against whatever it is the Russians may be up to makes us worry more. And the Europeans who have been demonstrating on the streets over there this weekend are obviously worried, too. They apparently take small comfort in the thought that a nuclear war might very well, if we play our cards right, be confined to Europe. Furthermore, we worry when we hear about Libya. Gaddafi makes us very nervous. We worry about terrorism anywhere in the world, the rise of religious fanaticism, especially in parts of the world where they have a different religion than we do. And we worry about Northern Ireland and El Salvador and so on and so on. This is just a partial list of the sort of news that has turned us into such worry warts. How come you never put on any good news, people ask? Well, fair enough. In a moment, we will report on one less thing for you to worry about, an actual improvement in the relations between two peoples who have long been enemies. Stand by.
Summer may be over, but the savings are just beginning at True Value Hardware Stores. Hi, Pat Summerall to tell you that right now you can save on everyday household items featured in their value-packed fall shopper circular. You'll find TrueTest Weatherall, their finest quality acrylic latex house paint, for just $10.98 a gallon. And you'll save on painting accessories, weather stripping, appliances, and household cleaners, just to name a few. At participating True Value Hardware Stores and Home Centers, where you'll find values in every department. And say that Pat Summerall sent you.
If we don't want a racetrack right next to the town hospital, we've got to send the town council a piece of our mind.
Yeah. What a difference a mailgram makes in 24 little hours.
A Western Union mailgram message is a fast way to register a protest. Just call Western Union, and within seconds, a piece of your mind is on its way for delivery with the next business day's mail.
And it's only a day.
If you go looking for trouble, you find it. Maybe that's why there's so much trouble being reported in the news these days. Maybe we news people haven't been spending enough time looking for the stories about improving relations between countries, about easing of tensions between one place and another. We have just such a story for you this morning. Mind you, it wasn't easy to find. But with all the talk these days about weapons deployment and scenarios for World War III, it's sort of nice to know that somewhere on this weary old planet, peace is breaking out. Got your rose-colored glasses on? Good. The good news is that the country of Denmark and the Spanish village of Huescar are going to end their long-standing enmity. 172 years is a long time, don't you think? Huescar is a village in southern Spain, in Andalusia. Now, Spain and Denmark have never been at war, ever. But in 1809, during the Napoleonic Wars, the Kingdom of Denmark sided with France against Britain. And the town council of Huescar was so upset about this that the council, in a fit of patriotism, declared war on Denmark. And formal hostilities between the village and Denmark have remained in effect ever since. One of the main reasons the Danes never did anything about this all this time was that they were unaware of the situation. Well, now that it's been called to their attention, something is being done about it. On November the 11th, just a couple of weeks from now, a formal armistice will be signed by Denmark's ambassador to Spain and the mayor of Huescar. With the signing of that armistice, formal hostilities will come to an end, according to the Danish Foreign Ministry in Copenhagen. This is a little ray of sunshine. It may not brighten up your whole day. But they say it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. That's an old Chinese proverb. Say, speaking of China, have you heard about the Pentagon's plan to sell FX warplanes to Taiwan? Oh, gosh, you're worried again, aren't you? I'm sorry. Now this.
We're hauling day and night to get things where they need to be. Moving freight across America just as easy as P.I.E.
PIE, one of America's largest freight carriers, serving locations throughout the country. Check PIE before you ship anywhere. Pacific Intermountain Express, an IU company.
Just as easy as PIE. Just as easy as PIE.
News break, Monday, October 26th, 1981. I'm Charles Osgood, CBS News.
CBS News. A new United States ambassador takes up his post in Moscow, and there is no sweet talk. I'm Richard C. Hottolett reporting on the CBS Radio Network. It's taken the Reagan administration 9 months to send its ambassador to the Soviet Union. The long interval has been interpreted as reflecting the administration's cautious, cool, and arm's-length approach to Soviet relations. Today, Ambassador Arthur Hartman, a professional diplomat, went to the Kremlin to present his credentials to Vice President Vasily Kuznetsov, and he took with him some straight talk. Don McNeil reports.
In a forceful 2.5-page statement handed over to the Soviet government, he urged it to review its policies and actions in the world. Specifically, the ambassador told the Russians that in view of a major and unprovoked Soviet military buildup, the United States had no choice but to respond. He went on to say that the United States would enter into talks on theater nuclear forces in Europe next month and into the new SALT negotiations next year in a positive and constructive spirit. Then, resuming the tough tone of the message, Hartman called on the Soviet Union to help make Afghanistan free from outside interference and to stop giving support to Cuba for its efforts to subvert other Latin American governments. Other points made to the Soviets, to stop using force, subversion, or terrorism to gain a unilateral advantage in certain areas of the world, and to persuade Vietnam to join an international conference on Kampuchea. Don McNeil, CBS News, Moscow.
Hartman also said that the United States is, quote, fully committed to improving relations with the Soviet Union. The AWACS issue moves toward a midweek climax. More on that when CBS News continues.
Here's a little message for all you moms who got up and packed the kids off to school again this morning. Now that you've wiped the milk up off the kitchen table, it's time for you to take a break. And your breakfast is ready at McDonald's. You can come to McDonald's and treat yourself to a delicious Egg McMuffin and a nice hot cup of coffee and still have time to pick up all those wet towels in the bathroom before the gang comes barreling home for lunch.
You deserve a break today.
Your breakfast is ready.
At McDonald's.
Savings bank.
Do you own your own telephones?
No.
Could you afford to pay another increase?
increase in monthly phone company equipment charges?
Sure, and instead of toasters, we could give away free toast.
Avoid paying any monthly equipment charges. Own an Executone business phone system from 5 phones to 5,000. Executone Inc. The nationwide business phone company. Member Continental Telephone System. Call 800-645-7246. That's 800-645-7246.
President Reagan set aside almost 2 hours this morning to see 5 Republican senators who are undecided or opposed to the sale of AWACS radar planes to Saudi Arabia. This afternoon, he sees another Republican and Democrat who are against the deal, and he is expected tomorrow and Wednesday, the day the Senate votes, to talk to as many as a dozen more. One Republican senator whom the president has made a special effort to win over, Pat Leahy of Vermont, announced this morning that he will vote no.
It was probably the hardest decision I've made, and in fact, it is the hardest decision I've made since I've been in the Senate. But I finally came to the conclusion that introducing enormous more weapons, sophisticated weapons, into the Middle East without any kind of a recognizable Middle East policy made no sense at all.
A sailboat crowded with more than 60 Haitian refugees broke up in heavy seas today, just half a mile from the coast of Florida. 33 of the Haitians are believed drowned, with another 3 missing. The others were able to swim to shore. A Coast Guard spokesman said just such a tragedy was what they hoped to avoid by the new program of turning back Haitian refugee boats on the high seas. The Polish government has moved small groups of soldiers to nearly 2,000 villages today, saying they are to improve the supply of fuel and food. Stocks and other news after this.
America's coming.
Lincoln Mercury introduces a better way to beat the high cost of financing. It's called upfront money, and it lets you save now, not later. Right now, you can get from $400 to $500 cash on a new Lynx, $600 cash on Capri, $700 cash on LN7. Dealer contribution may affect the consumer price. You can apply this cash to your down payment or get a check direct from Lincoln Mercury. Just buy from stock or order by November 22nd. Limit 5 per customer. Up to $700 cash savings. Upfront money from Lincoln Mercury. Because the less you pay for a car, the less you have to finance. See your participating Lincoln Mercury dealer now.
America's coming to the cats. America's coming, coming, coming. Lincoln Mercury. America's coming to the cats.
The government announced today that it is freezing $5 million in profits made on the New York Stock Exchange. The Securities and Exchange Commission charges that the profits were made by insiders who took advantage of information that they had that Kuwait would attempt to purchase the U.S. oil company Santa Fe International. The commission is now investigating the case. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones average is down 7.80. Volume on the big board, 16 million shares. The Dow Jones industrial average, 830.19. Richard C. Hotelet, CBS News.
CBS News, another bombing in the middle of London, one dead. This is Reed Collins reporting on the CBS radio network. A civilian member of London's bomb squad was killed today trying to handle a bomb planted in the heart of London. Dan Revive has the story.
Part of London's main shopping thoroughfare, Oxford Street, was closed off after the bomb exploded, reportedly on the sidewalk outside a popular hamburger restaurant. Police said a suspicious package had been spotted. The immediate area was cleared of people, and when the bomb squad arrived, the package exploded. There was no immediate indication of any connection with 2 other bomb explosions in London this month, one near an army barracks that killed 2 passers-by, another that crippled a senior officer of the Royal Marines. British officials had warned that the Irish Republican Army might begin a campaign of bombings here in the British capital after the IRA hunger strike in a prison near Belfast ended in apparent failure. Dan Revive, CBS News, London.
The owner of the London fast food place where the bomb was planted says he'd received a warning call before the explosion, and the Reuters news agency says a caller says he was with the IRA and claimed it was the work of the Irish terrorists. A car loaded with dynamite blew up in a Christian neighborhood of Beirut, Lebanon today. Reports say one person was killed, 20 hurt, and a major fire followed the blast. And in Northern Ireland, police discovered wires leading from a 500-pound bomb planted under a road. They followed the wires and were led to two sleeping members of the IRA who had dozed off waiting for British troops to come by on that road. News continues after this.
1982 is shaping up as a bargain year for labor contracts. A recent article in the Wall Street Journal told why unions may plan to moderate wage demands and what they may mean for the nation's inflation rate. If information like this is important to you, have a pencil ready for an offer from the Journal that could help you get a head start every business day with up-to-the-minute business information that could affect your future and your company's future. Other Journal articles looked at steep sticker prices driving more buyers to used car lots and rising used car prices, and at the new estate and gift tax rules where there may be thorns among the roses. The Journal also told why a new wave of mergers coming could engulf a third of the nation's commercial banks. The Wall Street Journal, it's all the business news you need when you need it. Right now, you can get 26 weeks of the Journal, one for every business day of the week, for less than $1.60 per week. That's just $41 for 26 weeks, less than $1.60 per week. So if you're serious about business in the continental U.S., call toll-free 800-228-6600. That's 800-228-6600, except in Nebraska. You'll be billed later.
Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont announced today that he will vote against the AWACS sale to Saudi Arabia when the Senate tally is taken Wednesday. Leahy, a Democrat, had been regarded among the undecided. Leahy says there's still an out for the administration, suggesting the White House withdraw the package or at least resign it to avoid defeat. 33 Haitians trying to reach the United States drowned early today when a wooden boat broke up off the coast of Florida. The Coast Guard says another 31 persons made it safely to shore, and it's believed the captain, also a Haitian, swam to shore with some of his crew members and went into hiding. America's new ambassador to Russia presented his credentials today along with a statement of policy. Arthur Hartman said that the United States is fully committed to the improvement of relations with the Soviet Union, but at the same time must respond to a massive Russian arms buildup. Hartman called for an end to Soviet interference in Afghanistan, Cambodia, and in Latin America. Hartman is the 17th U.S. ambassador to the Soviet Union and most recently was the envoy to France. A fire of suspicious origin knocked out power in Boston's subway system this morning. Tens of thousands of commuters were stranded in the rain. The fire gutted the first floor operations center of the Transportation Authority headquarters. Nobody was hurt.